Three key Enron executives return to Capitol Hill tomorrow for a second round of questioning. Vice President Sharon Watkins, current Enron President Jeffrey McMahon, and former CEO Jeffrey Skilling. They're all scheduled to testify in front of the Senate Commerce Committee. Senators want to pin down just what Skilling, in particular, knew about off-the-book partnerships. Earlier this month, he told the House Energy and Commerce Committee he knew few details, but documents released since then appear to contradict Skilling's story. NPR's Emily Harris reports.
The last time Jeffrey Skilling came to Congress, he repeated this statement several times.
I left Enron on August 14, 2001 for personal reasons. At the time I left the company, I fervently believed that Enron would continue to be successful in the future. I did not believe the company was in any imminent financial peril.
But Skilling's former boss, Kenneth Lay, remembers it a little differently. Lay hasn't testified, but in notes from a recently released investigators interview, Lay says Skilling was so worried about Enron's dropping stock price, Skilling couldn't sleep at night. That's not a direct contradiction of Skilling's testimony, but it's an important bit of evidence, says Republican Senator Peter Fitzgerald. He's a member of the Commerce Committee.
There are lots of companies whose stock price goes down. But in Enron's case, their stock price going down meant absolute disaster because they had capitalized some of their off-the-books partnerships with their own stock. So I think that that is some evidence that Mr. Skilling knew of the precarious financial position of the partnerships and what their implosion would mean to Enron itself.
In interviews with Enron's outside attorneys, other Enron executives say they specifically told Skilling about potential risks and real problems with the off-book partnerships known as LJM 1 and 2. But Skilling told Congress he didn't really track LJM's activities. Senator Fitzgerald wants to know how Skilling, as CEO, could not be thoroughly aware of transactions that, according to an internal Enron investigation, made up more than 80% of Enron's earnings in the last two quarters of the year 2000.
If Mr. Skilling is saying that he had no inclination that there were fictitious transactions going on with the partnerships, then what he's really saying is he had no idea, not even a general idea, how his company, Enron, derived its money.
Other senators plan to use Enron board meeting notes to question Skilling. One set of minutes says Skilling and two others were assigned to review all LJM transactions with Enron. He has told Congress that was not one of his responsibilities. Such apparent contradictions could prove more important in ongoing investigations by the FBI and the Securities and Exchange Commission, says Republican Representative Billy Tozan. Tozan was among those asking questions the first time Skilling testified on Capitol Hill.
They're going to follow through on the work we've done and may well bring, charges against people who have either committed security fraud or guilty of other potential criminal acts. So the fact that Mr. Skilling decided to come and testify under oath untruthfully may be some problem for him with those agencies.
Skilling's lawyer says members of Congress are entitled to their opinions, but, Bruce Heiler notes, many of the documents that may appear to contradict Skilling are based on the memories of other executives summarized by Enron's hired counsel. He dismisses them as virtual hearsay. But to at least some degree, those interviews do reflect the thinking of several top company insiders who have refused to speak in public. In one, ex-CFO Andrew Fastow was asked about allegations that Enron could collapse. Sharon Watkins, who used to work for Fastow, had warned that was likely if Enron's stock that propped up partnerships came due. Fastow dismissed her concerns to company lawyers. He said all stock that might have to be issued was already accounted for in the company books. Analysts say that may be partially true, but that crucial details were never made public. Fastow's explanation rings false for Democratic Representative Diana DeGette.
Fastow said he had already calculated the stock they would need, but in fact the stock lost more value and the company had to take a $1 billion write-off. So Fastow is just flat out wrong when he says that. And Sharon Watkins turned out to be flat out right.
Enron President Jeffrey McMahon has already told Congress he warned Skilling directly about conflicts of interest in the partnership setups. He also attended at least two meetings with Skilling where details of off-book partnerships were apparently discussed. The three are expected to appear at the same time and table together so senators can try to figure out whose story is right. Emily Harris, NPR News, Washington.